You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast. And listeners, we have got a very special guest back once again for the show. Welcome back to our very own Max Corcoran.
Thanks, Nicole. It's good to be back.
It is. It's a while since we had you on the show. How is life with you?
Life is a full swing, I gotta say. It's pretty busy, but all is good. Alternating weekends between grooming and event organizing and stuff, and listening to Bicton on, watching my Horse and Country TV.
There we go. You will be
you and Spencer were so fun
voice.
To listen to. Yeah.
Oh, good. It was
you
a lot of fun.
It was
a brilliant event in the UK, actually.
Oh my
Bicton
God.
International. It felt like eventing was reborn over here because you guys have all kind of carried on. There was obviously Kentucky. You've had Carolina. You had the Fork, loads of big events this spring, and over here we've just had cancellation after cancellation after cancellation. Badminton went, Chatsworth went, Bramham went, and so yes, there were a few events that were put on for sort of minimum eligibility requirements and things like that, but they did not have the same feel. And so to go to Bicton, which is a new sort of venue at the level, so they
look beautiful.
Oh my God. I mean, it's in a beautiful part of the country. It's in the very southwest of England, and it's really hilly and sort of rolling hills and beautiful green English countryside. And it's very close by to the sea as well. So that's gorgeous. And it was just a proper test.
It was a serious track.
Serious track. And I think a few people were maybe caught a little bit by surprise having had not the preparation that they would have liked, but it was it was a brilliant stepping stone for those combinations. If you went clear around Bicton, you came home thinking you've got a horse for Burley.
Right. Absolutely. Or for the Olympic Games, right? You're ready to go. Checked all the boxes and off we go.
Absolutely. And the team there had done an incredible job on the ground and everything. So no, it was amazing. If you want to go and watch it, listeners, it is all available on HNC Plus on demand.
It is. It's worth having a watch. And I'll tell you what, those under 25 kids, some of those kids can seriously ride.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
I was very impressive. I mean, they made some mistakes, but you're supposed to at that age. But it was amazing. That was really, it was fun to watch those kids and humble when they're getting interviewed. They're just very sweet and proud of their horses and like, oh, I can't wait to do more. And it was just lovely to watch. It was a fun time of watching for sure.
It was brilliant to be there. And I've got for you listeners, a little tip. There you go. I'll give you a UK rider to watch for the future. A young girl called Bubby Upton, who won the under 25 section. She also finished fourth. Her cross country was quite honestly two rounds in the under 25s, two of the best rounds of the whole weekend. Absolutely class. Showed them all how it was done. And so there you go. She will be on future British championship teams, one for you to keep an eye on. Anyway, as much as I could relive Bicton, because it really was brilliant. What are we going to be talking about? So listeners, what we are going to do, we are going to break down, and by we, I really mean Max is going to break down everything that you need to do on the ground to prepare for an event. So pre-event, how to get yourself organized, what to do when you're at an event to make sure that part of it all goes as smoothly as possible. So we'll cover everything from very, very basics to what you can sort of do post cross-country care and also what to do after the event as well. So we will keep it simple, but hopefully there will be lots of good bits of advice. There might be plenty in there that you already know, but you'll take one or two bits of wisdom, or if you're new to the sport, then this will be the perfect introduction on helping you be prepared for your event so that you can make sure that you can concentrate on your riding and your performance. So Max, let's start with pre-event. What is your routine and sort of in terms of making sure that, I mean, your horses are always beautifully, beautifully turned out. So what do you do to make that happen? Because it looks effortless, but it isn't.
Well, I will say it's just sort of a day-to-day thing about, keeping your horses well-groomed and tidied up and stuff so that the day before you're leaving for a competition, it's not a struggle and a hustle to get it to make sure that they're looking well. I mean, there might be a bit of a trim up here and a something else there, and maybe a bang of the tail. But for the most part, it's just, it's a day-to-day thing. It's to make sure that they're all sort of tidied up. I guess like now, you know, we're not doing whiskers anymore, which I actually, I think are, I like whiskers now. I used to think they were really annoying, but, and looked really messy, but now I think they're quite, they add a lot of character to horses and, you know, maybe a little bit on the bridle path and tidying up some feathers or some, you know, cornet bands or something like that. But that's something that, that if you do it a little bit each day while you're grooming, it's, it makes your job a lot easier, on the day before. And then, you know, typically a bath or something, depending on the weather where you are. Sometimes you just want to do legs and tails, which is also a very good thing to easy cleanup. Their body is, if it's too cold, to give them a full bath. Sometimes if you just get their legs and their tails washed, that can make them look quite good too. So that for the horse, that's pretty much all I would do. And then the other thing, you know, making sure for them on the day before, I always like to put out, if you have to leave early in the morning, to put out, if you do use travel boots or a shipping halter or something like that, to just have all that sort of set out. So you, when you get there in the morning, you can knock them off really quickly, pick stuff out of their tail, and then be on your merry way, you know, tail wrap or whatever it is. So that's all sort of set up, ready to go before you leave at the end of the day. And whether you're platting or whatever, you know, the night before too, that's something that's obviously a personal preference.
I think your point around making sure that, you know, you incorporate it into your daily routine so that you're not faced with a mammoth task is really valid, because I'm sure I'm not the only one that has gone to plat or braid their horse for an event and been faced with,
with this
just
massively long mane.
And thinking, how on earth do I make this look presentable? And they end up with like golf balls or tennis ball size plat.
Yeah, because you've run out of time. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so in terms of that then, let's just take manes for as an example, and braiding. Do you do it always the night before? Obviously, it depends on how much time you've got to do. But if you do, have you got any top tips to make sure that they are very destruction proof?
Well, I mean, there's some horses that obviously hate being braided the night before and just can't cope with it. And so you just got to know your horse for that. I typically try to braid. I'm a thread braider. I like to braid with a needle and some wax thread because I think it keeps it very tight and tidy. And they don't get loosened over the night. And then I always try to put some sort of a jammy or a hoodie or something on them to help protect them and to keep everything really secure in there. And so just to keep all the dirt and shavings and all that off of it. So that's what I always try to do. But again, I try not, unless it's going to make your morning really early. I don't love braiding the night before. I mean, I'm happy to do it, or if you have a really busy morning, but at the end of the day, you don't want to get you and your horse up so early that you have to get that done. And then everybody's tired and cranky by the end of the day.
Mm. Yeah, no, that's fair enough.
Yeah.
What about in terms of making sure all of your equipment and everything, your tack is clean, all of your bits and pieces are organized before you go? Have you got any kind of fail safe things that you make sure is done before you go?
Yeah, I mean, I make a list because you forget things and you cannot even believe. My big thing, I used to forget girths all the time. That was like my thing. And I had one season where I had a horse named Hugh Nose, who was about 17.3, and he was competing against with Teddy O'Connor, who was obviously the Wonder Pony, who was 14.1. And when you forget those two girths, it's a really difficult thing to find one to borrow. So it's very bizarre. So I was just one, it was a running joke with the barn. I mean, I get to the end of the drive, I'm like, oh, I forgot my girths again. So making a list is really important. Having a good check on, some people have, which I don't know, I personally didn't like, some people have competition bridles and schooling bridles. And I just like to use the same bridle, because I think the competition, if you have separate ones, and I get they're a little bit nicer, but they don't always fit the way you have your bridles day to day. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. And so I think that's, and you don't see them all the time, right? Because maybe they've been cleaned and hung up, and then you don't see them for a month, and they're sitting there and they sort of dry out and they might crack and stuff. So I like the ones that I see every day on day to day basis. And I just think they fit better. They don't stretch. Like if they do stretch out, you know, they're, you know, it fits the horse a lot better, but that's just the way that I've always done it. But some people like it the other way, but making sure you have all the right bits that you need, all the right, you know, your running martingales, your breastplates, whatever it is that you need is cleaned and tidy and ready to go. And, you know, even if you have a couple of hooks, maybe you have a different bridle for your dressage as you do for your show jumping, as you do for your cross country, is hang everything by discipline. You know, if you have you know, a running martingale on this thing, but a different breastplate for that. Just hang everything all together on one hook for each discipline. It just makes it a lot easier if you're in a rush. It's just you grab it and go. And then and same thing with your saddles. And the other thing that I also like to do, especially if I'm packing a trunk or something, as I try to pack by discipline, where I'll put my last discipline on the bottom of the trunk and my first discipline on the top of the trunk so I can go through, and my dressage saddle pad will be on top. And if you're doing your cross country last, your cross country saddle pad's on the bottom, and your boots and all that kind of stuff. It just makes it easier. So you're not flinging out your cross country boots to find your dressage saddle pad, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense. And actually, that's one of my next questions, because me has been in that situation whereby you cannot find one thing and you end up having to tip the entire truck, the entire trailer, lorry, upside down, inside out to find something. And it's usually the thing that you left in there from last time. But it's since gone walkabout.
Or you've lent it to somebody and you've forgotten to get it back and you just don't have eyes on it. So then suddenly it's missing and you need it. Yes. Exactly. Yeah, like your wrench for your studs.
So for anybody who, you know, might not be out competing every weekend, but that's a really, really handy tip to put it in by discipline and in the order in which you're going to get it out. So put what you need last at the back of the truck. Okay, that is very good advice. I might use that in my day-to-day life as well. Transplant well. What about when you get to the event? Because obviously you've got to get yourself checked. You've got to get your number. If you do that at the moment, we certainly aren't having to do that in the UK. It's all a little bit different under COVID times, which everybody actually really likes. But you need to walk the course, you need to walk the cross country, the show jumping. You see some friends that you've not seen for months on end, so you have a catch up with them. How do you organize yourself and to make sure that you're not tacking up in a rush? Because there's nothing worse than getting your horse ready and you ready in a rush. And by the time you get on board, you're so flustered, you've got a hot flush, and you're starting out three steps backwards.
Oh my gosh. And that happens so way too easily, way quicker than we think, or, you know, than it happens to everybody. I think one of the big things is figure out your dressage time. You know, when is your actual go time, and then work your way backwards, right? And then know that it's going to take you 20 minutes to tack up. It's going to take you, or, you know, your dressage time, how much warm up do you need? And how long does it take you to get to the warm up, right? And then you factor that in. Write it all down. I think writing stuff down is so important. You know, what time, even when I am grooming for someone, I say, write, you know, what time do you want to get on, and what time is go time? You know, so I know that, and then for me, as I'm planning for my horse too, that I know that it takes me this amount of time to tack him up or do the magnetic blanket or whatever it is that horse might need before that rider gets on, and just work your way backwards. And so you need X amount of time to warm them up, then you need X amount of time to get them prepared, then you need X amount of time to walk your course, you need X amount of time to do whatever it is, knowing where you're going and knowing how long you have to get there, all that kind of stuff is sort of work backwards. And then you can say, right, I've got my 1 hour to do this, I've got this, I've got that. And then, you know, giving yourself a little bit of extra time is always really handy as well. But just to set some go times and stop times, so then you and your horse aren't completely flustered, because it does happen.
And I guess the other thing that you can do is also practice that at home.
Absolutely. Because then you know what works and doesn't work for you and your horse too. You know, like what is your ideal warm-up? When is it that he feels like, yes, this is when I can go down center line because I've done this, 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 and this. And, you know, and sometimes it's only 20 minutes. Sometimes it's they need to go for a hack, come back, have a pee, then get on and warm them up. You know, it's all personal preference for you and your horse to know what works and what doesn't work.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, what about going down to your warm-ups? What would you take with you? If we start off with the dressage, first of all, it might be that it's very, very similar, but I imagine you have a bag of tricks, Max.
I do. I used to have everywhere. A backpack that had everything in it. I would always, because you don't know where you're going to be. And so in my backpack, I always had fly spray. I always had a tail comb. I always had studs and a wrench, extra studs and a wrench, just because I kept them in a little tiny Tupperware and a wrench in there, because even if you're doing dressage on the grass, sometimes it's not what you think. And maybe sometimes the front studs are too much. Maybe it's not enough. And you can pop something out and put something back in really fast if you've got everything there with you. I always had scissors and duct tape and electrical tape. And what else did I always have in there? The other thing that I, because I worked for many of, most of my grooming career for Karen O'Connor, who was maybe a little bit tough for her to see the dressage test, I would have a little booklet of dressage tests for her to have a quick look because she was riding multiple horses. Yeah. I always had a pair of reading glasses for her in there. I always had a water. I always had, and I always had like $5 in cash because you never knew when you wanted to, if you were hungry or thirsty or something and you wanted to get a little quick something that you're walking by on the way back. And chapstick, yeah. And sunblock.
I honestly, listeners, all you need to take from this is next time you're at an event, go and warm up next to whoever Max is working for. You will be covered. Yes. What about, I guess, from that perspective, if somebody doesn't necessarily have a huge amount of support with them on the ground, or they are on their own even, I guess that's a bag that they can have pre-packed and either kind of delivered down to the dressage warm-up and spoken nicely to the dressage steward to look after it, or given to a non-horsey supporter to kind of be in charge of it for them.
Yeah, because, and a backpack's easy because, you know, and I've done it a lot when you've had to hack around, you can just, as long as your horse is good with it, again, one of those things to try at home before you, don't do this, don't do this at the show for the first time. But those are things, it's an easy way to carry stuff, as I call it, hands-free, right? Because you've got the backpack on, you can still use your hands really well. So, and even like, as you said, a non-horsey supporter's like, here, honey, take my backpack down for me. But if that's not the case, even just, you know, making sure you've got the fly spray on and there's always a friend that's going to let you borrow something. I mean, this is in an ideal world of, you know, everything is wonderful and you've got all the help and all the time and all the everything, you know, but a lot of times even just a simple rag with, you know, that's damp on one side with fly spray on the other side, sometimes that's all you need too. And you can just do a quick wipe of whatever with the fly spray side and then touch off anything you need with the damp rag side. It's pretty easy.
And I guess from that perspective as well, you know, the eventing community is so lovely that if you're down at the warm-up and you haven't got any fly spray and your horse is being really bothered, then look around you, because you might spot a backpack and you might think, oh, if I just go and ask them really nicely, they might have something that I could use.
Absolutely.
And, you know, how many sports can you say that about?
Not too many. No, the eventing community is really quite kind. And the thing is, because everybody knows, like, you might borrow it the one time and you lend it because so there might be a time when you need to borrow it the next.
Yeah, absolutely. What about if you, between phases? So obviously you've done your dressage and then you've got a bit of time between your show jumping and your cross country. What do you do between the phases? Do you ever leave boots on or take everything off, or what? How do you work it? Is it simply just per horse and the amount of time that you have?
I would for sure say it's probably per horse and the amount of time that you have, because the horses, obviously, they like to sort of come back and if you have time, I always love to be able to take them back and let them just have a minute to themselves, whether they want a drink or a pee or something, and just let them be, which I think is really important for their mind and for you too, because then it gives you a second to sort of, okay, that phase is done. On to the next. What am I doing now? And, you know, again, if you're hustling to the next, a lot of times there are competitions where you go from your show jumping straight to your cross country, and you might have time to swap boots or put a cross country vest on and off you go. Whereas other times you might have an hour and a half. And again, knowing how much warm up your horse needs, how is he going to react to the warm up? Some horses get really sharp in the warm up. Some horses just don't need a lot because they get tired. You know, they just get dull, not tired, but they just get dull if they jump too many jumps. That's again, personal preference. And then, you know, the other thing I always say, making sure before you get on for cross country, is to make sure that you're ready. I'm probably going ahead of what your question you're about to ask me, but this is one of the things that I always makes me nuts is when people finish the cross country and then they're not ready for the after cross country part of it. They get back and they can't find their halter. They don't know where the sponge is. They don't know where the water is. They don't know where everything else is. And I always like to be super prepared, knowing like what event are you going to? Do they have a hose there? Do they have water there? Do you need to bring your own? How, you know, how far is it? You know, that kind of thing. And just to have your halter, head collar, as you always say, head collar ready to go. So, you know, a wrench to get your studs out and all that. So you're ready to go when you're done with your cross country to look after your horse.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, actually, because, and even it's one of those things that if your times are quite close together and you know you haven't got a lot of time between your show jumping and cross country, then plan it into your time when you arrive in the morning of making right. sure that you've got everything prepared and ready, because then you're not going to worry about it later and be under pressure. It is always the way, isn't it? When you have all the time in the world, things tend to happen quite quickly. And it's all fine. It's all fine yeah. because you've got time. But if you are, you know, rushed and up against it, then that's when you always incorporate the problems. It's
right. It always happens, right? Yeah. Exactly. Murphy's Law. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Your and horse pulls a shoe and something gets sprung and yeah, exactly. You drop exactly. the whip and
yeah. And then you end up being more of a fluster and then probably right. more things go wrong because you're in a fluster. What about anything else that you take down differently to the cross country warm up or the show jumping warm up before we come back to the lorry after you finished?
I use my backpack pretty much stays the same. The only other thing I'll usually take with me to the jumping is, or to the cross country, I always bring their head collar with me just in case you need to okay. leave them back, because yeah. that sometimes does happen. Or, you know, or if they sometimes, you know, say your rider does fall off or something and the reins come off and they step on the reins or whatever happens, you've got a head collar that's ready to go. And then there's some horses that don't, you know, the rider does hop off. There's some horses that don't, you know, the cross country bit sometimes is a little bit more than what you would have in the dressage, and they don't like to get led with that. And a lot of times they also have a running martingale, which is hard to lead with and all that stuff. So sometimes I'll just put the halter, if my rider hop, you know, finishes and they get off, I'll put the halter straight on over their bridle and everything. And that's just an easier way to walk them off.
Okay, that makes sense. What about when you get back to the trailer then? You have completed your event, everything is laid out ready for you. What would your sort of post cross country cool down must haves be while you're still on site?
Yeah, I mean, definitely, you know, washing them and walking them and getting them cooled off as quick as possible and doing all that part of it. I always try to make sure I try as I can to get my studs out before I take my horse's boots off. It's something that I've seen happen too many times where horses get amped up and they step on themselves or they start kicking out and they kick themselves in the shin and they do all that, which is really fun. So I always try to do that. You know, people say, oh, well, the horse's legs are heating up. It's not that, it's another couple minutes. And quite honestly, there's not temperatures. The boots right now, the technology is so good to keep these horses' legs cool. I just don't see it being a massive problem. So I always like to get their studs out before I take their boots off. And then get them, you know, properly walked, make sure they are offered water, as much water as they want, because then that sort of rehydrates them easily. And, you know, walking and some grazing and stuff. And then whatever it is that is your horse's after cross country care protocol, whether it's icing or, you know, some horses can stand in ice boots. Some horses don't like them. Some horses get, like you guys have those, which I love, those fabulous ice cube bags, which we don't get here in America, and you can pop those on. But getting some ice on them as quick as possible is also a really great thing that you can do. And just making sure that they're properly cooled out, that their veins are all, you know, down, as I say, before you put them on the lorry to go home. And then if you have time, depending on how far your travel is, I mean, sometimes if you're within an hour and you've got a horse that's done cross country at 10 and you've got other horses and you're not going home till 2, I always will put a set of wraps on that horse just so he's got some sort of compression on those legs, so he's not just standing there with some liniment or whatever it is. And then you can either, you know, if you do travel boots, put the travel boots over it. If you don't do travel boots, just throw them on the trailer with their wraps on and, you know, check them when you get home type of thing. So it all depends on what your post cross country care is. And, you know, obviously having a quick assessment to make sure you don't have any cuts or sprung shoes or any of that kind of stuff too. Cause sometimes you know, you're in a rush and you don't know, oh shoot, it's got a stifle, right? Did you get that? Can you put some salve on it or something like that just to help it? So you're ahead of the game before you get home and it's 4 hours later and it's not been looked at.
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess that's something then is to make sure you've always got the basics with you as part of your sort of packing list, always have the basics so that you've got a
little first aid kit that it's easy to get to. Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing I always make sure I take with me are my horse's spare shoes. And I just, you know, you can get your horses the last shoeing. If you, whenever your farrier comes, just keep the shoes that have just come off of them because you already own them. And I always put a piece of duct tape, write the date on them of what day they came off. And then that way, if your horse has lost a shoe somewhere on the course and you can't find it, at least you can get a shoe that's pretty close to what he was wearing, tack back on without having to pay the farrier for a new shoe.
Yeah. And so also, if you're at an event and you've lost a shoe by the end of cross country, and there's a farrier there and you've got one of your shoes, get it put back on rather than go
absolutely
home. Unless there's something specific for your horse that you need your own farrier. Actually, you could, you know, make the most of it while you're there and get it
exactly
so you're ready to go.
Exactly.
And what about post event in terms of you know, the day after, the kind of recovery after the exertions at home?
Yeah, the recovery thing is kind of an interesting thing because we don't really know. There's not been a lot of studies on recovery, which is something that there's a equine sports medicine group that here in North America that's been sort of working on different projects. And that's for sure one of the projects people are going to be working on, is to understand the recovery part for these horses a bit better, because there's obviously the short-term recovery from day to day. If you have the thing, you know, if you were talking about recovery from cross country at a 3-day event to your show jumping, and then there's recovery from one competition to the next, which is also really important. And there's so much studies that have been done on humans, but not much that has been done on horses. So, you know, one of the things they are, you know, that's really important is hydration and rest are two of the biggest things for recovery in humans. So they, and with horses too. But one thing I always do when I get home from the competition, even if my horses are wrapped, I take the wraps off and have a look at their legs again. And I might just put the wraps back on, or sometimes they get turned out for the night. More likely than not, they're back out for the night. So, you know, take the wraps off and put them out. But as long as I have a good look, and then the next day they for sure get trotted up in the morning, whether no matter what level they've done, just so you have a good baseline, just to make sure if there's something that's niggling or bothering them, you can stay really on top of it. Or maybe there's a, you know, they pulled a muscle, or they've just a little bit sore, or they've, you know, maybe the ground was hard and their feet sting a bit, and then you can stay way further ahead of it than if you didn't see it. I mean, sometimes if I'm staying the night at a show, I would trot them up the night after cross country, you know, after they've gone a couple hours too. But for sure the next morning to have a look at them. And then typically on the day after, you know, they usually want a day off, day out in the field or a long hack or something that's sort of a stretching and active, a little bit of an active recovery. You know, if they can't get turned out or for whatever reason, even if they just get out walking, it's just really important for them to move, to get just to stretch their muscles and move their joints and do all that. And then to, you know, see how they look, see how they feel. And then you can, again, assess what's your next plan? Are you planning to compete the next weekend? Are you planning to compete in 3 weeks? Yeah. Is that the day maybe you're going to get your horses treated? So maybe that's the day the vet comes out. If you're preparing to get to a big 3-day event, and it's the day after your prep run, you know, all that kind of stuff. You can use that day really, really efficiently. And it's also a good day for you if you're not riding your horse to do your laundry, muck out your trailer, repack for the next show, for everything. And the other thing I always do at the shows is I had just a little notepad of paper that I would write down whatever I'd run out of or things that I was missing. So it reminded me what I needed to repack to be ready for the next show. Because sometimes you're like, oh, I was out of something. And then you're packing. You're like, what was I out of?
What was it?
I was out of fly spray. Damn it. Right. And then you get there and you have no fly spray. So that's something that I always would try to do.
Yeah. I think that's a good plan. And even phones nowadays, you can just put it in a note.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And actually, if you get home and you are very organized and get yourself organized and sort of clean the trailer out and make that all ready to go for next time, then again you're saving yourself the preparation next time.
Exactly.
You left it as it should have been left. Just one quickly, I wanted to ask you, what do you do about sort of electrolytes, any recovery kind of mash, anything like that? Do you use those things? Is it pure water? What is your sort of recommended?
Electrolytes are something that you need to use correctly, because sometimes people say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to an event, so I'm going to give my horse this tube of electrolytes before I leave for the event. But the electrolytes actually need to be put in their system a day before, so they get thirsty to drink their water and to do all that before the event, not while they're at the event, then they're really thirsty and all that stuff. It needs to be, you want to make sure that they're hydrated before you leave, if that makes sense. A lot of times people, you know, think, oh, well, let me give my horse this tube of electrolytes right as you're leaving. And the horses are on the lorry, they're doing all these things and they don't have a chance to rehydrate themselves, where they could do that while they're in their stall the day before. That makes sense. yeah, know if I'm yeah. saying that properly.
That makes a lot of sense.
There is that part. And then, but a lot of times things that are easy to do, like a bit of a bran mash, maybe some beet pulp is always great to have in their system because it's a bit of water. Sometimes if it's going to be a hot place, someplace where it's hot, I sometimes just, you know, put some wet down my hay nets because that's just a cheap, easy way to get water into them. And if you have horses that don't drink well, then, you know, again, if you give them electrolytes, daily electrolytes, you know, that's fine because the horses sort of know that and that's something that they're used to. And even something as cheap as salt, regular salt, in their grain can also help them keep enough electrolytes in their system.
Okay, that is good advice, but also ones to kind of prepare before you go to an event and think, my God, I've got to get some electrolytes in them all.
Right. Don't go throwing it at them because your friend told you you had to and you've never done it before. Yeah. You know, make it something that if your horse drinks well, then don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's fair enough. It's all about knowing your horse as well as being prepared.
Yeah, exactly.
Max, honestly, this is so interesting because it is kind of breaking it down, and hopefully there will be some things in there that people will take away and find useful. So thank you so much for sharing them with us.
Absolutely.
Listeners, I hope you did find it useful. I hope there are some good top tips that you can take forward to your next event, but organization is key, and get yourself a magic backpack just like Max has. Yes. You will never be caught underprepared. We hope you've enjoyed it. We have got so much coming up for you, of course, in the next few months as the countdown to Tokyo is very much on. We will be with you every step of the way, and we'll be looking forward to another Team Talk episode with Eric Duvander and Jenny Autry, hopefully before the US team go to take on Tokyo in what we hope will be an Olympic medal. But that is all we've got time for now. Big thank you to Max, and thank you guys for listening. We'll be back with more soon on the USEA official podcast. Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.